is cheesy. The plot is stupid.
I'm sorry, the plot is bad.
That's a little opening. Do, 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 do. Do, 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 do,
do. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of ARG Presents. And you can tell right away, we're going to get down and dirty on this episode. Because this week, we're going to be playing games about dirt, Brent. Games about dirt. Please, allow me to introduce my my companion here, my good buddy, the Brent.
Wait, when did we become buddies?
Well, I'm trying to be nice to you after that horrible display. I'm going to bring back a monkey to do your job.
That's fair.
Good grief. So, Brent, week, we spun it. We made the deal. It's dirt. It's games. This is a show about games about dirt. I can feel the views coming in right now. Because people are thinking to themselves, man, games about dirt, it's wide open. Now, Brent, let me ask you. Obviously, we picked a couple games that involve dirt.
We did.
But when I say, Brent, games about dirt, what's the first thing that pops in your head?
Dig Dug.
Me too.
Hey, good night, everybody.
Thank you. But we can talk about, I thought it'd be a fun exercise, a mental exercise. Try to come up with as many games as we could that involve dirt.
Okay.
Dirt, digging in dirt, running through dirt. Just rock it off five or ten real quick.
Okay. The next, of course, obvious choice is like dirt bike stuff.
Yeah.
MX bike.
Yeah.
Mud track stuff. And then, of course, you've got games where you're manipulating the environment, your Minecrafts, that type of affair.
Right. You're close, but you're way off.
I would say that is
you got,
dirt based.
You got your diggers, all right. You got your lemmings, right? You got that.
Oh, you got lemmings. I think that's a tough pull.
You got what do you mean they dig through dirt
and steel?
You got anteater is in another one that plays with dirt. You got oil as well, which we put on this show that is dirt related.
Yeah,
right. We could say Mr. Dew, that's dirt. He's into dirt.
Yeah.
I mean, he is. Yeah, he's in the dirt.
I agree.
There's Dig Dug 2. It's dirt.
No, and I think after that, you do have some games like your Power Wash Simulator. I mean, that's...
Who's playing that?
A lot of people.
Have you played that?
No.
Okay.
That's not mine.
I've played that in real life, and I hated it. I can't imagine. It's like Yard Work Simulator. Like, who's going to play that?
Apparently a lot of people. A lot of people.
Well, it's not something I don't like to simulate things in the artificial world that I have to do in real life. Where's cat litter simulator? Is that going to be...
No, you pick... Even your game this week, you sort of simulate in real life.
What do you mean?
You're driving around.
But I'm not racing. It's not the point. And not to mention cat box simulator. It's a far cry from driving around the mud simulator. In my opinion.
I don't know what that means.
So do you have, amongst the games we talked about, are there any of your favorite games that involve dirt? You're a Mr. Dew guy, right? You like Dew.
Yeah, I like Mr. Dew. I mean, I like Dig Dug a ton, too.
Would that be your favorite?
Yeah, probably, even though that's boring.
Would you say this was a fairly limiting category? Really, it's not like we had a ton of options here.
It goes both ways, though. It's so open.
Yeah.
You can almost say anything at EverQuest while you walk on the dirt. It's like, come on.
It's funny. I'm looking here in the chat. I thought, I'm going to look to good old trusty chat. They'll have ideas we never thought of. And what do they got? Oil's Well, Dig Dug, Anteater. So maybe we did touch. I see Hover, Bobber. I haven't even heard of that one. O'Reilly's Mine.
I will say this did make me go out and search for games, and I found a game that I would absolutely have never heard of, played, or seen otherwise.
Not me.
So for that reason, I give this category a big thumbs up.
Well, I went out and picked up the first thing that I could think of instantly.
You lamed it up.
Should I lead the dance? Are you ready for me?
Yeah, we'll let you go first because your game...
Let's see if you can get your production levels to fire up here. Make off. What are you talking about?
Aaron, what'd you bring to the table?
Listen, when I think of a game that it features dirt, I just thought I'd play dirt. And I thought, that's too new. So what's the game that's...
Too new?
You heard me. I thought, what's the game that spawned the game called Dirt? And it's a game I've heard about for 8 million years, but never tried one time. And so this was the week. I played the original Colin McRae Rally.
You sure did.
Colin McRae Rally. Now, you know, before we get into, you know, this is one of those things where you, it's like Dave Iron Man Stewart, you know, or Ivan Iron Man Stewart, his name is. It's like one of those games based on a sports star from a sport that I don't know.
Yeah.
And so I thought to myself, who was Colin McRae? I didn't know who he was. So I looked into him.
I'd assume he's a famous driver. Well, but I also don't know.
Well, I'm going to prepare to be taught. Colin McRae was a Scottish rally driver who was born in 68, passed away early at the age of 39, which we'll get into that just a little bit. He was a World Rally Championship, like, car master truck. Well, I mean, that's what it's true.
Just saying words.
Well, no, I mean, listen, what are these things? Because they've got cars and they've got boats. They're barely vehicles, all right? They're weird things. So get this. This guy had 146 rallies, the Brent.
That's quite a few.
Yeah. And guess what? He won 25 of those. Pretty good, eh?
Pretty good ratio.
The last one he had, the 2002 Safari Rally, he was a super popular guy. He was very good at his job. And he, along with his assistant, you know, so you're in the car, then you got a guy that tells you the stuff.
It's reading the map and telling you what's coming
right.
up. Yes.
That's right. That guy's name was Nicky Grist, I believe is his name. But get this. This is a sad part. So this guy was doing pretty well, 39, right? So died in a helicopter crash in 2007 with his whole family.
Oh.
So that's bad times harsh. Right there. Yeah, that's bad harsh. Times. So that's a tough way to go out. But anyway, that's who the game's named after. Now, it's funny because the naming of this game, we mentioned this, ultimately it became Dirt. As horrible as that sounds, I guess. So Colin McRae is a game that debuted for Windows in 1998. And you had Colin McRae come out 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times before it became Colin McRae Dirt on the 7th time. Then it was Dirt 2, Colin McRae Dirt 2. Then they dropped him completely. It was Dirt 3. Then it was Dirt Showdown. That sounds like a winner. And then in 2013, Colin McRae Rally. They dropped the Dirt. And then the next year, it was Dirt Rally. And then it was just Dirt again. So this game's had like a million.
We saw it. It would've been awesome. It was actually just Dirt again. Real quick, if I can interject a little non-game related story, Aaron.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
You and I were both in the band in high school, right?
Yeah.
And something from band culture is you have a band week that's the week where you learn your show.
You're talking about band camp.
Yeah.
I hate that week.
You get introduced, necessarily introduced, but you really meet the people that you're playing with.
Hell yeah.
When I was a section leader, we had a few freshmen that came up, and I'm horrible with names. I mean, I call you
you're George horrible at everything you do,
Tim, all the time. Yeah. I don't know who you are, but we had a guy that I could never remember our trumpet's name, but he wore a shirt, and the shirt just had the word Dirt written on it.
Yeah.
So from that day on, I just called him Dirt. From his entire high school career.
That's a long way to go for that story.
And now, back to the game.
Did he always wear that shirt?
No, he wore it the day I was giving out nicknames, and that was it.
You know, if we were going to get by that naming nomenclature, from now on we're going to call you Stain. How's that sound?
That's cool.
So
that's pretty bad.
Get this. In 2021, so Codemasters, who made this, I'll get into all that in a minute, they got bought by EA. And so the Codemasters Dirt Rally team has been rebranded the EA Sports Rally team. So if you were looking for them, there you go. That's what happens. EA wins in the end every time. So let's talk about the game proper that was based on Colin McRae. So anyway, once again, they didn't pick a dud athlete. They got a guy. They got a successful guy.
Sure.
Again, this was released. So get this. This was released in July of 1998 in Europe for the PlayStation. It didn't come around until 2000 in North America. So the Europeans got this first. And on Windows, This got a release in October of 98 and 2000 for the North American version. So again, we had to wait. Here's something I didn't know. In 2001, they released a Game Boy Color version of this, which I hardly got mentioned anywhere, but I thought I'd throw that in. Again, this was made by Codemasters. Codemasters, my God, they've been around forever. And they were also, it was developed by Codemasters and was distributed by various people because it was all over the world, Windows and whatnot.
Sure.
So what is Colin McRae Rally here? Well, you are taking the role of Colin McRae or yourself in a rally sport. And your job is to win these rally races. Now, if you're like me, I'm not I don't know jack squat about rally racing, right?
Really?
No.
You never watched it?
No. Why? Oh, yeah. Why don't I watch that?
It's pretty cool.
It's not that good. Okay. So anyway, I mean, I see the ones where a guy comes whipping over a hill and rams a tree or careens into a bunch of people.
No, it's a pretty cool sport to watch.
I'm just saying. I see the only things I see are the bad stuff.
No, well, I mean, you seek that out.
Well, it's not my fault. It's just what Twitter is now. That's what it is. So, anyways, this is a game that features these various rally cars, and they're real cars in this game. And so the first thing I had to do.
Yeah, licensed cars.
That's right. The first thing I had to do was, thank God, one of the options in this game is go to school, rally school.
Yep.
When I went to rally school to learn what I was doing, because like I said, I don't have any idea what's happening in this game. So in essence, here's what I've been able to deduce from what this sport is. And people that are really into the sport can sort of like fill in the gaps here, right? So your job is to drive like a bat out of hell across a dirt track that spans off across the countryside. And while you're doing this, the track is so, like, perilous. There's a dude that's on the radio telling you what's coming up. Turn left, turn right. There's a turn five, turn three.
Well, they're telling you how deep the curves are.
And or, like, ditch on right side.
Yeah.
Or bridge, gate, stuff like that. And so when you go to rally school, you don't start off with that stuff. It's like my favorite part of rally school, drive your car forward across the finish line. Now, the funny thing is, Colin McRae and they got his his helper to do the voices for this.
Oh,
Colin McRae is the guy that helps you learn how to rally drive. Colin McRae is totally disinterested in this. He's like, move forward. Good job. I mean, it's the most, he's like an emotionless android in this. And even when you're out on the track, the other guy is like, hard turn right.
Well, there is a reason for that.
Oh, okay.
There is a reason because you can't get excited. You can't be like 15 degree turn left. Right. You turn.
They should be like that because I can tell you right now, Nikki Griss is the guy when you're in a car. And so when you're going down, you're screaming down these back roads and he's like, turn three right. Hairpin. You know, it's like power drive. It's what it reminded me of. Lee Carvello's putting challenge. But the worst, I mean, I don't want to speak ill of the guy, but I mean, he was unmotivated in this training.
Well, I'm going to, yeah.
Now, I'll grant you the training. If I was him and I was watching me train, I would realize that I'm going to go out and get killed on the course. So it's really not a reason to like expend a lot of effort.
Probably not the best time investment for him.
But the driving school is actually pretty good. You start out with just going across the finish line and then you start learning how to like go around cones. And then you start learning how to drift around the cones. The controls are just what you think they are. You've got analog control. You could change them.
Oh, no, okay, go.
By the way, I should mention I played the PlayStation version of this.
Yeah.
You've got gas. You've got reverse, and you've got a handbrake. Right. That's all you need. And you can also change the view.
And we have a normal brake.
Right. Too. And so you learn that the handbrake is your friend, but here's the wacky thing about the one. Well, no, it is.
It's your friend.
It's, well, I mean, it doesn't like you, but it hangs out with you to see what happens. I guess the better way to put it. And let me get to this in time. So once you get through rally school, you go through there. You can go through beginner, intermediate, and expert rally school. Now, once I got past beginner, good enough. I need intermediates for geeks. I couldn't stand any more Nikki, or I mean, of Colin being like, you hit a code. Like, I've got it. Don't, or like the thing is, you get a grade card in training, And the training's like, and one of the grades is paying attention to the instructor. And like, he'll dock you if you don't do what he says. You know, it's actually pretty good. I mean, I have to say, for now, I didn't know anything about rally car, and I thought that was cool. You learn, okay? So then it's time for your first race. Now, this thing has races all over the world, but if you play the rally, you start off and you go through them. As you go through them, you can actually earn more areas to go to.
As you race them, you unlock them to do things like time trial.
So you've got, and here's the way it lays out. New Zealand, then you got Greece at the Acropolis. Australia, Monte Carlo, Sweden, Corsica, and the UK, right? And then there's an official, unofficial race, which I never saw in most of these, by the way. It was Indonesia. And so once you start the race, you're going to do like five races are on that area, all right? So you start off in New Zealand, right? So these races, they run these things no matter what the weather, okay? So some races, you're going to be like on, it's dry. You're on gravel. It's a sunny day. Right? Yeah. Some races, it's like it's a downpour. And you're deep in the mud. You know, so it affects how you play. That's where the handbrake comes in. So once you get out of the course, it does give you the ability to change how you want the camera. You could be you can have a first-person view out the window. You can have a real tight view on the car. You can have a far-away view on the car.
Yeah, I think there's five different camera angles that go from their bumper cam, hood cam, interior car cam, slightly behind your car fly, and then far away.
I liked it pretty far away. Because you could at least, I mean, not super far, but you had to see what's in the car. Forget about it. No good.
That's the only way to play these games.
In the car. Well, you had more guts than me.
Yeah, not bumper cam. I don't like bumper cam. I like in the car.
Maybe you're better at this than I am. So once you start off the race, you'll have your navigator there, Nikki, whose monotone voice will scream in your ear every 3 seconds. It'll be like, turn two. Turn right, turn three right, hairpin turn, you know.
Yeah, watch telling you what's going on.
Watch for gate, watch for bridge. And so as you're going down the track, this is just like you'll see it coming, you'll whip the car. Now, you know, this came out in 98. You know, it's just a funny thing. I'm going to go for a little tangent here. This is the beautiful.
A tangent? I don't believe it.
This is the beautiful thing about doing shows like this and playing in retro games. Like, to me, these were the greatest graphics that I couldn't believe what I was looking at. I was like, my God, they were killing it in 98. Yeah, but I've been playing the oldest crap you could think of. You know, I was like, man, these look great. Yeah. I mean, the weather effects, it was smooth. And so you take off down these beautiful roads, and he'll tell you what to do, and you do it. Now, I learned early on, and every so often you're going to pass these little, like, discs, little red discs that are on either side of the road. Those are checkpoints.
Yeah, those are your, not checkpoints.
They're not, like, in-the-game checkpoints, but they are, for all intents and purposes, they're checkpoints.
They're time gates.
They're issued throughout the game. I don't know, do they have those in real racing?
Yes.
Okay. You can hit them, too, by the way.
They don't like it when you do that.
Well, I'm just saying, you can do it if you can. So, one thing you've got to learn is when you're on a dry track, you can pretty much go as fast as you want. But when the turns come up, you've got to play it like you would play a turn. Early on, so I changed my mythology, and it helped. Early on, I would just slow down in the turns and maybe hit the brake a little bit. But eventually, you get comfortable with using the handbrake, but you can never get too comfortable because the handbrake in this can make you look like the biggest fool on earth.
It's easy to roll.
And it's not just rolling. Like I was all over the place. And once you start losing it.
Yeah, it's tough. You know, it's real.
And the thing is, what you want to do, here's what you shouldn't do, but I did. Like it's a straightaway-ish, full, all like pedal to metal, no stopping.
Yeah.
But like, the problem is this race doesn't have a ton of those.
No.
So you just get in the habit of putting the pedal down everywhere and just hoping you're not going to die. Which is what I did. But you can scream around those corners. When you get it right, it's quite nice. When you get it wrong, you feel like a geek, though. It's a problem. And it was funny. We were on Discord. Someone posted a picture up of them going through this ditch. And that's true. There are ditches in this. And when you get caught in them, it's
like a black hole.
You feel like an idiot. But also, I mean, this is one of those games. This is where a 3D and 2D were kind of hanging out. You know, they're chilling. So, because all the trees and stuff are like, they're, it's like a
yeah, they're
It's like a Hollywood production. They just look flat.
Yeah, they're,
you know,
planes.
And you could go out in amongst them.
Yeah.
And so when you look onto the side in this 3D world, you see these flat 2D trees. But you could go way off the road, which I did many times.
No, I mean, there's a lot of fencing, but yes, you can.
I mean, you could go up into the woods, is what I'm saying, and then try to get back onto the road. And sometimes you'll get lucky. A lot of times you won't. You have to throw it in reverse, you know. So on the first track, it's not too bad. But then they start cranking up the rain and stuff. When it gets muddy, it's crazy time. And so when you're using that, when you're using the old handbrake, it's a tap, a tap, a tap a system. You can't hold that thing down because your car flies all over, but you barely get to touch the handbrake when you use it on the mud, especially. Anyway, once you get through, once you hit a checkpoint or a time check, whatever you call it, it will give you your time based on the best guy, basically. So it'll be like, if you're in the green for that area, that's good. That means you were ahead of the other guys. If you're in the red, that's bad. That means you're behind everybody, which I was always in, almost always in the red. You go through the entire course. And these courses can go on for like minutes. Like, yeah. I mean, it's not like it's a 50-second thing. It goes on forever. And then at the end of it, you cross the finish line, and then they give you your overall time. Then they give you your overall position in the game. Now, one of the major differences between – there were a couple differences between what we got in the States and what they got in Europe. From what I read, in Europe, everyone in the game was a real guy, including Colin McRae. In America – Colin McRae was a real guy, but everyone else wasn't real. All right, that's quite
weird. Well, the folks over here wouldn't know these people anyway.
Well,
so why pay for it?
Some people. Why are they making the game then? If no one knows,
because people still like the rally race.
Well, I don't know about that. Also, some cars got changed too for licensing purposes. But you're playing real cars, which was surprising to me. And so as you go through, as you finish the race, it will tell you your position. Like I was actually like. I never won, but I could get in the top four or five sometimes.
Well, okay.
That's not bad.
There's only like 15 racers, though.
I'm in the top third.
Okay.
You can't even give me that.
You did well. You did great.
And so then it's time to go see how trashed your car is. And you can try. These cars are tough. You can turn them over. You know, you can smash them, but you can't kill them. You can hurt them real bad, though. And so then you got to take, and you've got to go in, and you can, not only can you fix your car, but you can, like, tool around with the settings of the well, I didn't
never
do that. But you can.
You can. Yeah,
but for like different days and stuff, if you knew what you were doing, like I don't even have cars.
Yeah.
But like, let's say I need the mud tires or the, you know, straight tires. But some of these courses are quite nice. They go through like, and the funny thing is they're different. Sometimes you're screaming down a road that's on the side of a mountain, you know. Sometimes you're in the middle of like a gravel pit and you're moving in between piles of gravel and machinery. Sometimes you're going through a like almost like a pasture. And some what I like about it, too, is some areas are like literally just wide open, like green grass.
Yeah.
And you're all over the place in this grass, kicking up mud and
crap. Kind of making it up, yeah.
It's real cool. They say, according to what I read, they had 12 cars and they used laser modeling, the brand. What do you think about that?
That sounds very buzzy.
Yeah, but over in North America, we don't get 11 cars because they lost the use of the Renault thing. Renault's a car of some sort. Get this. I didn't know this until I looked into it. So you could network the Windows version up. You could have multiple networked cars to play over a LAN. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
But
you didn't get that. Well, I'm just saying you can.
Don't race together, so what would be the point?
Hey, listen, you could. Why are you asking? You could race together, I guess. That's the point.
Go ahead.
No talking.
All right, sorry.
They mentioned that it's funny. So, like, what? Let's say you don't know anything about rally, right? What rally games did you know about besides this one?
Oh, my favorite rally game.
Which
all
is?
The ones from the Neo Geo, the 2D one.
Well, those suck. They said that the Codemaster said that their inspirations for this game was Sega Rally. Remember, that one I have played. And he also mentioned the game I totally forgot existed. Remember on the PC, the Screamer series? Remember the Screamers?
I know of it.
I forgot they released Screamer Rally. I totally forgot that existed. But they also mentioned that was one of the ones that they got inspiration from when they made them.
Should the inspiration should have came from the sport?
Listen, it could be the graphical setup,
oh,
it could be the angle of the car.
Oh, what,
you get a rag on these guys?
No, continue up so I can.
So anyway, to cut a long story short, you've got your rally, you've got Time Attack. You can do individual courses. There are lots of different modes. It's a good game. The options let you tour out your controls, which is what I did. Again, I put this in the PlayStation, so obviously there's no LAN party action on there. The Windows version, though, I looked at, and it looks very similar. I mean, they did a good job on it. I like the feel of the car. This is a game, when I first started playing it, I was like, I'm not going to like this. Because I played these games where they yell at you, I didn't like it. But I actually got into this. I played this a ton this week. Tons and tons. And I really got into it. I didn't get that great at it, but I'm getting better. And it's a game that once you play it over and over, you do sort of get the feel for the car. You get the feel for the turns. It's fun. I like the look of the land. I just think it's a good-looking game. And this is a series I completely wrote off. I didn't give a crap about it. And I'm not sure I'd like the newer ones. Maybe I would. But I do like this one. What did you think of this one?
Okay. Let me tell you my experience with this game.
All right.
Loaded it up, no problem.
Yeah.
Got going. Three.
You played the PlayStation version as well? Okay.
I went straight to the race.
Yeah.
None of this school. Well, I know how rally works. I'm not worried about any of that crap.
Yeah.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Wrong, hit the gas, I'm going, everything's fine.
Yeah.
The first was like a slight right.
Yeah.
And I was like, tink on the controller and fishtailed almost to a 360. And I was like, huh, this is not going to be fun. Now, I was right.
What were you controlling this with?
My Xbox controller.
Okay.
Analog controller.
Okay.
So the analog sticks, that was not the problem. So I was like, okay. This is really loose. I know rally cars have really tight turning, but the grip of the tires and stuff are really loose. So I'm going to have to adjust my expectations tremendously.
Yeah.
So I get used to the feel, and it never feels good. Never when you steer this thing does it feel good. It always feels like your tires are just ball and you're on ice. But you do get used to what the game wants you to do. The game wants you to make all these fancy turns and power slide around them and all that stuff. And when you've got a curve that is, 65 degrees or more, it does. It feels good. You could really slide around the corner. But if you're trying to make slight adjustments, forget about it. It is way too loose. So I went, okay, all right, race one complete. Let's fire this back up. I went into the next track. It was the quarry, which is a much better race.
Yeah.
Just overall, it's a much more exciting and appealing race. And I got a little bit better. But here's the problem. It never felt good. I played and I played and I played. I never went to the training because I get it. The problem I have with this game, and it's not its fault, is problem one, there's no analog gas pedal. Because that was just before its time. And when you get used to having an analog gas pedal and then try to go back and play these older games where an analog gas pedal would be helpful, it's tremendously tough to enjoy the experience, at least for me. Problem number two at the game, the cameras, I am glad they give you several camera angles.
Yeah.
The five to switch through. The in-the-car view, which when I play a racing game, I want to be in the car, unless it's some kind of like Destruction Derby or kart-based game, right? I want to feel the experience. That's my whole point of being there. It doesn't have gauges. It has your steering wheel, and it has it reacts the way that you do, but it has no gauges, it has no information, it just uses the GUI of the screen that you would normally have. Don't like that. The overall length of the races are from a good length to ridiculously long. I think I get it, rally, it's supposed to be long, right? And I understand all that. But some of these tracks felt like it was just going on forever. And I did not appreciate it. I don't think they had enough interesting scenery. Yes, they had different weather. Yes, they had different ground conditions. But most of the scenery is just flat or very small ups and downs, not dramatic. And you're always flanked by either trees or fields. That's why I like the quarry course so much, was it was something different. But there's not a ton of, you never go through like cities or anything or villas.
I'm guessing you didn't get out of New Zealand though, did you?
Yes. Yeah, I made.
There are tons of jumps and stuff. I think the scenery is great.
There are not jumps. They're rally jumps.
You're not going to be like Evel Knievel on it.
But, and that's fine. This is an arcade style rally game, which is good because if it was simulation, it would have been absolutely horrible. You can wreck and recover and get back into it. Yeah, your time's going to be crap, but it's not like one little bump off the road and your car is disabled. As I said before, I grew up playing the Neo Geo rally games and I love them. The controls, they're digital. I know it's different, but the
those are arcadey above the.
This is arcadey.
No, those are whole different types of games.
What we played today was arcadey too. But I love the thing I like about the Neo Geo ones is it's about reacting to the corners that are coming up, and you feel it. It's really tight. You have real good control. You decide when you're going to slide out. This, I felt like anything I did, I slid out the back tire.
I think I can answer the problem you have with this. Well, there's two answers. One, you're goofy. And two, this is not, you made a big tactical mistake by playing with the in-car cam.
No.
Yes, because, no. By the way, newsflash, the Neo Geo ones weren't in-car. You love those.
You're right.
Why can't you give this the same sort of a look? This is a game where playing out of the car gives you an idea of how the car's drifting, what position your car's in. It's the way to go. You don't want to be in the car because you can't tell how far your back end's out. How far are you sliding? How close are you to the ditch? You can't tell you're in the car. And I think that's what screwed you. If you'd stayed out of the car, you'd have a better experience.
I raced equal time in and out of the car.
Yeah, but it sounds like you sucked.
No.
Horribly.
If you can't make your experience, if I'm going to play a game like this, I want it to be, quote unquote, a realistic experience. And to do that, you have to get in the car. Almost every 3D driving game I play in the car because you get more immersed. That's not even that big of a deal. I'm not having the gauges and stuff, not that big of a deal. The game just didn't feel good to me. It felt way too loose.
I think you're too hard on it. I really think I was real surprised because it's a sport I don't like. And normally I don't play these games, but I thought the car handled real. I mean, it is. But you're out on your own gravel and crap and mud. It's going to handle a little looser.
It's a lot looser.
But I'm just saying you're not on a tarmac here. This is hard. That's the way it is in real racing. That's they go out in the mud.
No.
And stuff.
No.
They do. That's exactly how it is. Just a couple of things I wanted to say before we as a tidy up. This, I've read this, and never in my wildest dreams that I think my two interests would coincide here. So get this. I read this on like Moby, I think. It might have been Wiki. So this game has an Easter egg in it, okay?
All right.
So if you activate this cheat code, there's a section of the game where you're abducted by aliens. Your whole ship is beamed into an alien ship. And according to the Wiki or Moby, where I got this, they did this to parody the abduction of Betty and Barney Hill by extraterrestrials in 1981, which if you're a ufologist of any sort, it's a very famous case where these two people had a ton of missing time, and through hypnosis, it was determined that they were abducted by aliens and they were operated on. So that was, didn't see that coming. Sometimes it's somebody at Codemasters is into UFOs. That's the only thing I can figure. Guess what? This game did real well.
Well, obviously, they made 30 million of them.
At the 1999 Milia Festival in Cannes, it won the gold prize for revenues above 30 million euros. Pretty good. By late 2002, its global sales had reached 4 million copies. Bestseller in UK. It was one of the most successful. It's the most successful Codemasters game of all time. And Codemasters has been around for a while. And of course, it was highly praised in all the magazines. Well, most of the magazines. I've got the reviews here. A long list of reviews. I'm not going to go through all these, but CBG gave this 100%. They loved it. And then you go. It scrolls down here to like. GameSpot and IGN gave this some 67-66%. So there's a lot in the middle. I'm going to go with PC Joker because they hate everything. Even PC Joker gave this an 82%. And I think that's a pretty solid number. I would give this somewhere in the 8. For the time it was released, this is an A title, in my opinion. I think this is a real good title. You know, if you're like me, who came into this and not... I'm just saying.
Play in traffic.
No, take off. That's not nice. If you're like me and you didn't know much about Rally Call, you know, this is the ultimate praise I could give a game. This sort of makes me kind of want to go watch some of this to see if I like it.
Yeah, watching Rally Races... I'm not going to sit down and watch 6 hours straight of
yeah.
it, but it is entertaining to watch people do their thing. It's a very precise and team sport.
Yeah,
a lot of people don't give enough credit to your navigators, but they're obviously a very important part.
No kidding.
But yeah, it's
as monotone as possible. They need to deliver those lines.
Well, you like I said, you can't get excited. You got to keep everything under control.
I will say, if you explain to me what this game is, like on paper, I'd be like, oh, God. Everything about this, I like to just get in the car and go as fast as I can, as straight as I can for a long way. You know? And so when you're like, listen, you're not going to go very fast, and a guy's going to tell you which way to go over and over. I'd be like, screw that. But there is something to it, I'd say. We got one review. Pajaco chimed in. He said, if I ever had aspirations to be a rally driver, this game ran those over and dumped them upside down in the ditch. And it's safe to say I should probably remain on my current job. Truthfully, I prefer more arcade racers like Burnout and Sega Rally. However, Colin McRae isn't actually bad for its time. It gave you a lot of bang for the buck. Lots of cars, courses, and of course, mods to your car to set up depending on the track.
Which I didn't... Just to jump in here real quick, I didn't touch... any of that.
Oh, I touched them.
So it could have been awesome.
I touched them a lot. And then, but I don't know what, I don't think I did somebody good. Plus some top class 90s places and game tunes, which wouldn't be out of place in my car now. It's a shame you can't have that while playing the game. Half the battle is knowing the courses, and the courses went on a little too long for me. Sure, you can have your co-pilot telling you what's coming up, but having something similar with sat-nav these days can still have an accident or get lost. I don't have much experience. I need one of those guys to sit with me when I go to the prisons. It's like, turn left here. I need
that guy.
It's
on your phone, Aaron.
Yeah, but that's not monotone enough. I don't have much experience of other rally simulations, so it's hard for me to compare. But I completed a whole race in New Zealand and failed to qualify, and I enjoyed my time with it this evening. Nothing here really wowed me, but it's a good game nonetheless. Hence why the franchise is still sort of going. I would say give this one a couple hours one evening, maybe hot seat it with some friends, and you'll have a good time, and you'll see where dirt started. 8 out of 10, which is in line with Joker. As far as I'm concerned, that's a legit score. These are available. You get these easy on eBay. Yeah. They're all over the place. El Cheapo Grande. I like it, though. I learned a little bit about dirt racing with the old cars. And seriously, and by the way, you should have went to dirt school because you didn't get to hear Colin McRae talk, you know? So that right there, you screwed yourself double. You did no practicing, you didn't go to the school, and then you played from the wrong vantage. Just goes to show you that sometimes you need to come out of your comfort zone and go to some different vantages and go to the practice. I'm just saying, you screwed yourself.
Are you done? We're moving on.
I'm done.
Moving on to Thunderground.
Underground.
Aaron.
Just sing it.
Holy moly. Did I go above and beyond and save this show?
Oh, my God. Can you toot your own horn a little more?
Aaron, this is an unsung classic of the Atari 2600 era. This, published by Sega, developed by Sega Electronics, Thunderground, 1983. Aaron, have you ever heard of this
game? I never heard of this one.
No, I had not.
In fact, when it said Sega, when it kind of was like, I was like, that right there in itself stunned me. I'm like, wow. Okay.
So here's some thing with Sega. Sega dabbled in the early systems.
Yeah.
Normally what they would do is they would have an arcade hit and then bring that arcade hit to the home console.
Like Star Trek, for example.
Thunderground had no arcade. It had an arcade equivalent, by a game called Borderline. But
like Madonna?
Well, possibly. Oh. But this is a Borderline had was a four stage game, and one of the stages very much mimics what Thunderground does. But the game as a whole is its own thing. Thunderground has been described as a Dig Dug type game,
yeah.
A Mr. Do type game, a combat type game.
I don't describe it as any of those. I don't, whoever described those were morons.
They didn't
go to dirt school, that's for sure.
I can tell you, Aaron, that in 1983, this was reviewed by a magazine called The Computer Entertainer. Ever heard of that magazine?
Exactly. It's a mod. No, I've never heard of it.
And
kind of a computer entertainment.
It was reviewed by two reviewers, Text Review, Black and White.
I would assume.
Both of them described this as one of them went as far as to say this was a Dig Dug clone. Or not cloned, it was inspired. Dig Dug inspired. I think that's completely wrong.
I mean, it does involve dirt. That's the only thing it has to do with Dig Dug.
Exactly.
That's the only thing.
So, let's take a moment, Aaron.
This guy has bullets and a gun. So how did Dig Dug's gonna pump?
I'm just, hey, things were different in 83, Aaron.
No kid.
Dig Dug was popular.
So it's like everything's a Donkey Kong clone.
Exactly.
And when Donkey Kong came out, we've seen that time and time
again. Exactly. So let's talk a little bit about Thunderground, Aaron. Thunderground, you play as the Resistance, and you have to go in there and take out the reactors of the bad guys.
All right.
And you can't just wheel on up to the old hideout, right? They'll blow you away.
All right.
You're an underground force. You're small. You got to be in and out, stealthy, if you will. So the plan is to take your motorized drill tank.
It looks like an A-team van. That's what it reminded me of.
It's not the A-team
van. In my mind, that's what it was. BA was driving.
And you have to dig under their facilities,
yeah,
and shoot out their reactors from below. But, I mean, these guys are powerful. They've got defenses and security everywhere, including underground.
Wait a minute, this is in the docks?
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I was wondering the context of this.
Yeah. So, and at the bottom, if I don't say this now, I'm going to forget about it. At the bottom of the screen is your reserve forces, right?
Yeah.
If you get taken out, they're going to send one of those people in to finish up what you failed to do. And it works as a time limit because the bad guys know that you're hung out there, and they're sending forces under the ground to like surprise you and take out your reserve forces.
All right.
This is depicted at the bottom of the screen where you've got your tank sitting there and you see an enemy tank just ever so slightly inching up towards it. It's an awesome little visual. But in reality, it just works as a timer. So in Thunder Tank, you start out under the ground. You've already made it to the base. You just have to go you're in control going that last extra mile. And it's a single screen game where you have six reactors at the top of the screen. In the early stages, all six are lit up at one time, and you have to dig through the ground, avoiding or engaging with the enemy tank forces. Some of them have the ability to also dig, but some of them can only travel in passageways that you've already dug. And when you kill them, they will respawn. So it's not
quickly.
Death forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, it fairly quickly and it always inconveniently.
Yeah.
So you have to dig up from below, take out a reactor, take out all six reactors, and then that ends the stage and you get points for however much time you have left over, and then you go to the next stage. And the next stage will be the equivalent of what you were just at, but with a different ground structure. Sometimes it has no dirt, and you go up into like a warehouse and you have to take it from there. Sometimes the defenses have their own digging capability, so they can actually dig through the dirt and find you. Sometimes only one reactor will be active, of the six. So you have to take out that reactor before you can, another one will become active and you can take it out. And that's basically the gameplay loop. As you're digging around, every once in a while, you'll uncover items, a key, a map, a bat.
That was baffling to me.
Those serve no purpose in the game outside of giving you bonus points.
Yeah.
They're completely hidden, and you have to literally just, if you dig and reveal one, you get the point.
I had to read the box to know what was going on there, but it told me, Because I thought, man, am I not doing something here? I thought, man, I had to get a certain amount.
Yeah.
They're hidden. Yeah.
Yeah, they're just completely random, completely hidden. This was an arcade-style gym. I really enjoyed my time with Thunderground. It was, from the very beginning, easy to understand what you're supposed to do. Having your little reserve forces down there and seeing that the enemies ever becoming closer to killing them, it is a little nerve-wracking in later levels because the enemy really hauls butt to take out your reserves and fail the mission. This is 100% a point-pressing game. And it is surprisingly easy for, say, the first 10 stages.
Yeah, I was killing it there at the beginning.
And when the difficulty does ramp up, it's usually in the form of faster enemies, shorter time limits, more active, more pursuing tanks, bad guys.
They shoot like maniacs there, yeah.
And they will always be trying to gun you down and clog up your passages.
It's a funny thing about this is like when you start off, you're cruising.
Yes.
And then like suddenly you're like, how am I? Like, because you're like, this is a piece of cake. And then suddenly you're getting killed. And then suddenly you're dead. Like it's not because the game got instantly hard. It's just that it ramped up to the point where it got like a really tough.
Yes.
And it was actually they did a good job on the ramp up, I think.
I think it's a little slow, but I agree. Aaron, this was supposed to be an arcade game.
All right.
This was, I mean, the Borderline game was out there. But this was also in development. Borderline actually came out 2 years before this came to the consoles.
Yeah.
But this was going to be out there in the arcade because I think they refined the Borderline formula and was going to put it out there. But it didn't. So Sega just dumped it on the Atari.
Is there a ROM set or anything for Borderline?
For the arcade?
Yeah.
I would assume so.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw footage of it. And I can definitely see where they
did it look like this? I mean,
In more arcade quality graphics.
Okay, so but this was still basically the same basic bear. Is what you're saying.
Well, like I said, Borderline was a 4-stage game.
But, I mean, this part of the stage.
And Borderline is you're driving vertically. That's what Borderline has that this doesn't.
I see.
And it has some different
this
techniques.
This is bad. I like this. I like doing it this way better.
Oh, it has some different techniques for like the reactor. Sometimes it would be encased in like concrete and you'd have to shoot through the concrete before you could destroy it, that sort of thing. Borderline, certainly worth checking out if you had never heard of it before. But this is one of those games. Sega was actually wrapping up its game division when this came out. And they are their outside venture game production. And they put zero marketing into this game. And even the magazine article mentions that no one's going to see this game because Sega didn't push it. And it's a shame because this is for an Atari 20. I forgot I was playing the Atari 2600 because...
I mean, I remembered that. It looks just like a 2600 game.
But it doesn't feel like one.
It does play. It's got a good... It does play at a nice clip.
It's smooth as silk. And while most of these games have that obvious grid pattern where you move, like if you take a step forward, there's no stopping in the middle, it just pushes you to the next cell. This game, it has that grid pattern because all of Atari games did, but the grids are much smaller, so you can really stop on a dime. Really appreciate that about it. The action, considering you only have two enemies ever at one time on the screen, you would think that would be really easy to avoid.
Well, they shoot a lot.
The enemy tanks, I can't say they're smart, because you can actually make the enemy tanks destroy the reactors, You can make them shoot.
I don't really. I never got that to happen.
If you run into a tank, you can die.
Yeah.
But once you shoot a tank and disable a tank, it just becomes a lump of metal on the field for a little while that you can actually hide behind, which is very useful. My strategy on this was don't kill when you don't have to. Because the respawn, instead of most games that will spawn the enemy away from you, and then the enemy has to make its way back to you, this is completely different. It will spawn an enemy right on your butt if you are in that.
They come out the top line where the reactors are underneath. They're just underneath the reactors.
So
they're in a bad spot for you.
If you're going to hang out in their home, they'll spawn right on top of you. And I'm okay with that because the game makes it very clear that the enemies come from point A and point B. So if you're there when they spawn, it's your fault. Aaron, what did you think of Thunderground?
Well, you know, in the answer to the question, this is a Dig Dug clone. It's more like if you think Dig Dug, like Yar's Revenge and Frogger had a son, a mutant son.
Wow.
Because you've got there are elements of gameplay that are in all of those. You know, it's a great game. I'll give you credit on this one. I never heard of this one. And right when I started playing it, it's one of those games. This is the beauty. People that rag on the 2600, I remember all those years, they were giving away the 2600s. Here's the cartridge. Now all of a sudden that a new Atari came out, and all of a sudden people are like, hey, this ain't bad. No kidding, geeks. We've been telling you that for 20 years. Here's another example. You know why it's so good? Because you pick up a game, and in 3 seconds, you're like, okay, I got it.
Yes.
And then you play in the game.
Yeah.
There's no reading the manual. There's no learning curve. There's no overlays. There's nothing. Just get in there. It's a perfect example of a game. I picked it up. I'm like, okay, I'm in the A-team truck. There's the tanks. What's that crap at the top? Can I shoot it? Okay, great. Level ended. Let me see what I do. Bam, you're done. Is that simple? When you first start this, you'll just go up. You'll drive your tank up, blow up the tanks. Or you drive your van up, blow tanks, go across the line, remove the dirt from the reactors, blow them all away. And then you think, this is a piece of cake. And you'll do that for a couple levels.
Yeah.
And then the guys get smarter. The tanks get more irritating. And so one of the fun things to do are the ones that can dig is, you're right, don't shoot them. You just dig a long, long tunnel that goes all the way around the board. And while those two morons are screwing around the bottom of the screen, you're just going through and just pegging that reactor, laughing at these geeks. You know, but eventually they get better. Also, when you complete a level and you mention that your extra A-team trucks drive along the bottom and run over that tank, that's great because you get a bonus. It's the timing situation. That's a nice visual cue.
Yes, it's a wonderful visual
representation.
But you
didn't have to do that, but it works good because you're like, hey, look how far they drove. I get a big bonus.
Yep.
Some levels, and by the way, the Dig Dug clone guy can shut up because some of those have no dirt.
Yeah.
They're just a big empty nothing. And just everything gets crazy time. You know, the fact of the matter is, there's strategy involved in this once you get well in. Yeah, you're right. It does start off, and I didn't fiddle with difficulty switches on this. I should have.
They don't do anything.
They don't do anything.
Nope.
But I like the setup in this. The tanks you're fighting look sort of like if the Galaga ship was a tank. Like it sort of looks like that, you know. And when they come to, but I think your truck, your van looks something right off the Odyssey. That's the same kind of car you see in the Odyssey, except for the cool design on it. But, I mean, and the funny thing is, you're playing on a screen that's, I don't know, two-thirds of it you're not playing on a full screen because the bottom part of the screen is taken up by, your extra guys. And it takes up a decent part of the bottom of the screen.
It takes up more than it probably needs to.
And so I wish if I had a complaint, it would be that they would actually give you more real estate. But, I mean, it doesn't affect the game that much.
I know why they don't.
All right.
The action part of the game is because you're in such close proximity to the bad guy.
How do you know that? You're not a programmer.
It's 100% what it is.
I don't know about
If you had more real estate, it would give the enemy AI more places to roam, and you don't want that.
Well, it is. I mean, it's close quarters. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
I like the fact that they start moving. They start changing the way you have to deal with the reactors.
Yeah.
Which is cool. You have to. And one of the things I like about this is if you run up real quick and you can dig right across the reactors, but you can't shoot them. You can dig tunnels under them, and you can be shooting from, like, way off.
Oh, yeah.
Because your bullets travel a pretty good distance.
They don't go quite the full length of
right,
the screen,
you can't
get close.
But it's, but, I mean, so you don't have to go right up on the reactors. You can shoot them from far away, which is cool. I can see, in my mind, I can envision, like, other stuff they could have done and like to make this even better. Like, this is a good...
If you wanted to reduct a game,
yeah,
this is it, man.
This is the perfect game to redo with other machines because, number one, no one's heard of it. And number two, look at the graphics. I mean, you can't do any worse. I mean, they look, they're five of the 2600, but I'm saying, I mean, you could put this on... This would play on a ZX81. This would play on a Dragon. This would anything could play this. And it's a solid, solid game.
Yeah.
This is another one I sat down with, much like Colin McRae. I was like, eh, I got a little time. No. And played this for a long time. Right out of the gate, I had like 45,000 points, something like that, which is for my very first go. I was like, man, I felt like I'd really gotten real good at it. This game, that's another thing that people forget. Like, you want to feel like you don't suck instantly. It's like, hey, I think I know what I'm doing. That's part of it. So, yeah, this game is a winner, big winner. So the fact that I've never heard of this, this shows you the width and breadth of the 2600's library.
Yes.
Here it is. I mean, this thing came out in 83, you know? I mean, how many years is that from now? It's like 41 years. 41 years! I've never heard of this game. You know, and no one I talked to heard of it either.
Yep.
So, it's a winner. You did good. How'd you come across this one, the Brent?
Extensive research.
Oh, no, really? How'd you find it?
I swear.
Random on MAME?
No. This is one of those games.
Had you played this before this week?
No.
So you never heard of it either?
Nope. I literally was looking. I knew the type of game I wanted to play.
Yeah.
And I couldn't do racing. I couldn't do dirt bike because you'd already kind of gobbled that up.
Yeah.
And I was considering doing something adventure game like a Minecraft type game.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? No, I'm going to go out there and find a dirt game no one's heard of.
Yeah.
And that's dug and dug until I found
it. And
this.
You can go play this like if you're listening to us, you're on the road or you're watching on YouTube or whatever. You can play this right now.
Yeah.
Just go to archive.org and play it. And I mean, it plays fine. It plays fine in your browser. I used a Mystery Play, but it doesn't matter. It's a 2600.
Yeah. We prefer you don't play this while you're driving.
Well, I mean, if you know. But I mean, if you're going to play one. But I mean, this is a you know, there are so many 2600 games. There's a lot of duds. Don't get me wrong. But I mean, you come across a game like this, and this is a game where it's not graphics, it's not sound effects, it's a good, solid, fun game.
It's a fun experience.
Fun experience. I think it's a big winner.
Now, Aaron, the magazine that I mentioned earlier, that is Computer Entertainer, they rate is graphics and gameplay.
Boy, I bet they were having a rough go of it in the Atari days. This game was blocky and slow.
They were a multi-console / computer magazine.
You sure it's just not Computer Entertainment? I've heard of that. No. I've never heard of Computer Entertainer.
Computer Entertainer.
Okay, I never heard of it.
So they had two people review this. One gave graphics a C, the other gave graphics a C+.
Yeah.
And one gave gameplay a B, and the other gave gameplay an A.
Okay.
And I think that is, for the most part, very fair. I would love to see someone take control of this game, redo it, have the items that you find in the dirt, the key and the stuff, expand on
like
that
give
a little bit.
Like extra weapons. I'd like to see a bigger screen and have two players.
That would be cool.
That would be awesome.
I think you could take the hidden items that are in the ground on some of the later stages, make them a requirement, make getting the key card or the key, open up the reactor so you have to be able to shoot.
Maybe, oh, yeah. Good idea, yeah.
I have some form of radar that just blips out from your tank just a little bit to help you find those hidden items.
Yeah.
I think that'd be something fun, an addition.
How about this? You come across like a fault, and the entire screen sinks down a level and it kills all your tunnels off.
There you go.
That might be kind of fun, too. So,
I think this game...
Listen, start programming now. Where's Happy? Get him on the line.
I think this could really use with the updating. And like you said, almost no one's heard of this.
But I mean, it's good in its current state.
Yes.
Don't get us wrong.
Almost no one's heard of this.
Yeah.
And you can really get in there and make this your own while also reviving classics.
Seriously, I think this is a top shelf game. I really enjoyed it. I mean, it's simple. It's funny. I just talked about how much I enjoyed Colin McRae. You can you can enjoy both. One super complex simulator, and one is just the dopiest little 2K nothing. But I mean, they're both fun, you know.
Yep.
And this one's clever and it's unusual.
Did we get a Discord on this one, Aaron?
We did. We did get one Discord review from our good buddy, Pajaco. He chimes in. Okay, I've never heard of this before. And so I was intrigued, to say the least. I was able to play this with a new CX40 joystick for authenticity. I can't believe I spent hours playing games on that thing. However, I enjoyed Thunderground so much, I stuck with it for about an hour, getting up above level 18.
Nice.
And over 120,000 points and getting RSI in the process. Worth it. For me, this is Bits of Dig Dug, Mr. Do, a dash of Frogger, and of course, a classic Atari game, Combat. There are strategies to try out. It does change depending on the level, and it's got a good gameplay loop with a solid risk and reward system. I also like that destroying the tanks really wasn't the best thing to do unless you had to. It really isn't about destroying the enemy tanks at all.
Yeah.
The whole thing just keeps you coming back for one more go. While this is only an Atari 2600 game, not something from the arcades or even a better port of another Atari system, is beyond me. Really, there should be more out there. This has all the basic ingredients of a good score chasing arcade game. I would have probably played the poop out of this back in the day. So if you like classic arcade games, like I mentioned before, you should really give this one a try. It's a gem for the system. 9 out of 10.
There you go.
Jocko's down with the clown on that, Debrad.
If you would like to have this in a boxed form, go for 40, 50 bucks.
Really? So this wasn't particularly rare.
I don't know.
Because, a box of Atari 2600 cards these days, that's about what some of them go for.
Sure. But, also, who searches for this, right?
I wonder how many copies this sold. Do we have any idea on that?
No, of course not.
Yeah.
You can get a loose cart for this for between 10 and 20 bucks.
Yeah.
They are available out there. I did see where someone had posted a sealed, graded version of this game going for like $8,000 or something.
Yeah. Most people are out of their mind.
Of course, that's ridiculous. Yeah. But I do encourage our listeners and viewers at home to give this a shot. I had a lot of fun with this. I was so proud of me when I found this.
Oh, God. Listen, I'm giving you your props. You did a good job, kid. You botched up so many other things. This is why I keep you on the show right here.
Damn, every once in a while I get it right. You know what always gets it right, Aaron?
I don't know.
That'd be the wheel.
Oh, man, what's right here?
Let's wheel it up.
All right. Check it out. I'm ready for you. See, normally when you do the wheel, I just sit here like a geek. But look, now I'm going to hold this thing. There we go.
Yeah, you're sitting there like a geek and holding something.
What do we add this week, the brand?
You didn't tell me.
Well, I'll tell you right now. It is the one that's a ripped out Soviet arcade games.
Oh, Lord.
Soviet arcade games. And the winner is, what is the winner, Brent? Plato Games. Plato. This is from Dave Velociraptor. Plato Games. Brent, you want to, what's that mean?
I have no idea.
I guess it's a system out there called the Plato, the Dana Plato. We're going to get involved in it.
Give me there a spelling on that bad boy, Aaron.
Plato? It's spelled like it sounds, Brent.
Okay, well, I didn't know.
Plato. Hey, I want to thank everybody for popping by today. This is the Time Change episode. On the East Coast, we have changed to, are we back on turned off daylight savings time? I can't remember.
I don't know.
I don't know what we are. We sprung forward an hour. So if you're just showing up, you've missed the whole show. Sorry about that. That's the way it goes. Now, Brent, we always have a good time playing games on ARG Presents, and we'll be playing games on a Plato. But you know what next week
is? Possibly by Plato. We don't know yet.
I think if Plato designed games, that would be something, I'll have to say. But next week, Brent, we're going to be back in jolly old England because we're going to be taking on the R. Sinclair episode. Do you remember what we picked for, that we ended up picking for this thing?
Well, we don't pick. That is the job of our committee. And let me tell you something, Eric. You can join that committee by heading over to the Retro Rotation on Patreon. That's patreon.com/theretrorotation. And if you sign up for the show collective tier, that's the $10 or $15 tier, you will be on the gaming committee so you can help us choose our games.
Yeah, and hopefully when you choose one, I'll know what you chose. Well, we'll figure it out.
And we will have that for you next week. Aaron, do you have anything else for the people at home?
Oh, man. I need a drink and some aspirin is what I think is what I have to say. Get us out of here. See you next week, everybody, for R. Sinclair.